Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I am your host, Elder Docs. First, I want to thank all that is on the line today on the internet. I was speaking from the book of Jonah, speaking from my heart and prophetically. We're going to have a good time in the Lord today. I won't be with you long, however. Hold on to your oars because we're going to have a good talk today. Brief talk, but good. Don't rock the boat and don't tip the boat over. Amen. Amen. You know, it's just ironic. I was just out early this morning and I'm seeing all these young folks out here just running. Where are they running to and where are they running from? And I can't seem to understand, you know, why are they running? And they appear to be going nowhere, but they're running, trying to hide, trying to do something. I mean, are they running from the Lord? Running from the Lord? No. Are they running from the law? Are they running from their responsibilities? Are they running? Where are they running? We don't know. It just dumbfounded me. I'm just watching these young adults and some middle-aged adults and some older adults that wants to be young again. It just seems like they haven't found their place yet. If they haven't found their place. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are broken. We are definitely broken. But He is near. Our spirits, dear God, are crushed. But You are our rescuer. He needs to rescue us from all of this, from where we're going and where we're going to if we're not running to the Lord. Where are we running to? I mean, His words is our hope. He revives us and His words comfort us, especially now at a time like this. Oh, Heavenly Father, our souls are faint, but You are the breath of life. Let us breathe. Let us breathe. You are our help. The one who's just sustain us, keep us going. Amen. You are weak, but we are strong. We know we can't do it by ourselves. It's by Your might and not by ours. Because You bless all of those who are mourning at this time because of COVID-19 and other illness that appears to be taking over. And we trust You. We trust You to bless us, bless our families, bless the people on the line here, bless all who are just willing to just surrender all and want to surrender to You, Father. We know that You will rescue us in our darkest day. And you will bring us and walk us into the light. Amen. Because we delight ourselves in you. In the name of Jesus. Our God is just so good. In Jonah, where I'm coming at, the book I'm coming out of, Jonah fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he did it because the Lord asked him to do something, and he refused to do it. Amen. The Lord asked him to do something, and he refused to do it. You know, it's ironic when someone asks us to do something that's in authority, and some of us just don't like authority, or we just can't follow leadership. But yet, you know, we'll buck the system, we'll rebel, we'll do things that's idiotic. It doesn't make sense, but yet in our mind we think it's okay, it's right. But all it's doing is just digging us deeper and deeper into the pit that we're going to eventually fall into. Amen. Jonah. Ain't that something? Okay, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I mean, you think about it. You're trying to flee from someone that you could never flee from. You can't hide from him. Amen. Amen. Jonah. How many of us are Jonah in so many ways? How many of us procrastinate in so many ways? How many of us ignore our responsibilities in so many ways? How many? How many? You know, it's the Lord, he sent word to Jonah. You know, he said, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give. When the Lord gave Jonah that first message, he just refused. But Jonah, you know, it's funny when you do something in life, you don't only hurt yourself, you seem to hurt everyone that's around you. And for some reason, these young folks, these middle ages, some of these old folks don't seem to realize. I mean, when you do things, it don't only hurt you. And the first thing they'll say, well, I ain't hurt nobody. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't hurt nobody. I ain't did. But they don't realize you did. When you do something that is illegal, when you do something that's inappropriate, when you do something that's not right in the eyes of God, you don't only hurt yourself, knucklehead. You hurt everyone that's around you, that's affiliated with you, that's associated with you. You do hurt them. Amen. Now, he ran away. And then when he boarded the ship, he went down to the bottom of the ship to sleep. And when the Lord sent a wind, a great wind, a violent storm, it threatened the ship. It threatened to break the ship up. You know, it's ironic how the wind and the wave can break a ship, regardless of, even if it's made of steel, regardless of how big or how strong it think it is, the Lord can break it right in half. Just break it like a toothpick. But when the storm arose, the sailors were afraid. They're trying to find out, you know, what's going on. So they crying out to their own God, and they start throwing cargoes overboard to lighten the load so the ship can maneuver better. But it wasn't working. And so they ask, you know, what's causing this disturbance? What's causing this corruption on our ship that we didn't have before? And then they said, well, hey, let's just find out. Let's see who's the problem, who's the culprit. And one of the sailors said, hey, Captain, they said, there's a guy downstairs at the deck. at the bottom of the ship sleeping. So the captain went down there, and he woke him up, and he said, how can you sleep in a time like this? You know, what's going on? And, you know, didn't you notice it, or can't you feel it? You know, that we're all about to perish. You know, can you tell me, you know, what's going on? You know, let us know, you know, what's happening here. And he said, get up and call on your God, and maybe he can help us. And then Jonah said, he said, I know what the problem is. But the sailors said, let's cast lots anyway and find out who's responsible for this tragedy, for this calamity. And they did, and the lot fell on Jonah. He was the culprit. You know, so they asked him, they said, tell us, who is responsible for this that's making for all this trouble? You know, like, is this your God? What's going on? And what kind of work do you do? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And from what people are you? You know, it's like when you ask these young folks that's running the streets, you know, say, you know, hey, brother, hey, sister, you know, tell us, you know, what's going on? I mean, you're not in school. You're not working. You're doing things that doesn't look right. And, you know, tell us what's happening with you. And we're trying to reach these young folks. What's going on? You know, tell us something so maybe we can help you. Maybe, you know, you on our boat, maybe we can throw you a lifeline. You know, what's happening here? You know, but the second time, when Jonah said, well, you have to throw me overboard, make a long story short, throw me overboard. That's the only way you're going to solve your problem and probably my problem too, because I'm the one that caused it all. And that's what I'm trying to tell everyone. When you do something that's not right, when you do something that's against the grain, you're going to cause problems not only for you, but for everyone around you. And why can't we see that? You know, it's not just self. It's everyone that loves you, everyone that's surrounding you, everyone that's trying to build you. You tearing them down with your foolishness. So they threw Jonah overboard. You know, he went into the belly of the whale, and he prayed, and the Lord told him what to do the second time, and this time he did. And so the whale took him back where he came from, and spooled him out, and he ended up on the same shore he ran from. And I mean, where are we running? I mean, we're running nowhere. It just irks me sometimes to see our young folks going nowhere. You know, oh yes, they can dance, they can rap all that crazy song, they can do all this, but they don't know the Lord. But you ask them about any of these crazy rappers, they can get down and throw those lyrics at you like it's nobody's business. But half of them don't even know the Lord's Prayer. Half of them just doesn't know who Jesus is. You know, it's just ironic. You know, half of them can't even sing that old song, Jesus Loved Me. Yes, I know, because the Bible tells me so. Because it's not them, it's their parents that didn't instill the word into them, wasn't bringing them to church, wasn't reading Bible stories to them. Then you wonder why runaway child is running wild, because of their upbringing. Amen. It's just, you know, then I think about Moses. You know, one day after Moses became an adult, he went out among the people and he saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating another Hebrew, one of his own people. He looked around to make sure no one else was looking. Then Moses, he killed the Egyptian. And then the next day Moses went out. That goes to show you, is what I'm trying to say, there's always somebody is watching, no matter where you go. You know, we're talking about big brothers nowadays and how this 5G is changing the world and how they're going to be monitoring just about everything we do and how the the signs of a time is the end times are near, you know, with these little small chips they want to implant, with these vaccines they want to administer. You know, when Moses went out the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. And Moses says to one of them, he said, who started the fight? And one of the guys that witnessed Moses killing the man said, why are you abusing your own fellow Hebrew, he told Moses. He said, who made you boss? You know, like, who made you judge, jury? He said, because are you planning to kill us like you did the Egyptian? There's always someone watching. There's always someone watching. So, you know, we need to be cognizant that if we don't study the word, if we don't pray, if we don't surrender all, if our salvation is not in the hands of the Creator that made us, our Lord and Savior, I mean, if it's not in their hands, then we're just running and we can't hide. We're just doing nothing. Because he gives us these gifts. He gives us these talents. The Lord gives us all of these things that we have inside of us. And however, if we don't break it down, if we don't give it up, if we don't know how to minister, if we don't know our purpose, our assignment here, we're lost. We need somebody to bring us back. Amen. I'm just going to take a little break. I want you to hear this song, You Can't Run, You Can't Hide by Lee Williams. And then I'll come back with you and be very brief. And then we'll pray and just ask the Lord to help those that need help. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. All of our young folks are, you know, it's just disturbing sometimes to see the young folks and doing things that's just with no respect for their own, no respect for one another, and it just read, just heard in earlier this morning, or was it last night, where it was a little fender bender at a service station. And, you know, just a little fender bender. And this 67-year-old man, very, very frail, got out to look at it. And this 20-year-old kid got out. And he started beating this guy. He started beating him. For what? For a little small fender bender. Now, he beat him so bad that 67-year-old is on tubes, on ventilators. It doesn't make sense. Why are we so angry? Where are we running to? What are we trying to hide on the inside that needs to come out? Talk to me, somebody. Tell me what is going on. You know, Brother Dave said the other day, yesterday, matter of fact, he was talking about, you know, we don't do, you know, these children don't know how to play simple games. He mentioned shooting marbles. I mean, it just talks about, it just, you buy a bag of marbles and how you line them up and you try to shoot them out the middle. He was just talking about how something as simple as that. But yet we get upset when somebody step on our shoes, or and now we're ready to kill. We're ready to do things that's unorthodox that doesn't make any kind of sense. I mean, if we could make some type of logical reason out of their action, you know, it's no one can do it. I mean, if we can't do it, the only one can do it but the Lord. And if we could just tell them, hey, man, your anger, you know, your depression, your anxiety, you know, all of this that's inside of you needs to come out. I mean, come to the mourner's bench like they did years ago. Come to a Bible study and give your testimony, whatever it may be. Vent your anger. Send it to the Lord, because he's the only one that can quiet your soul. Because we got too many of the young folks. We're killing each other. We're killing each other instead of banding together in one corporate. It doesn't make sense. We need to band together in a corporate prayer and help those. And maybe if we can pull them in the circle, we can help them. They can hear. They might, their hearts might be convicted. We don't know. We need to change them. We need to turn them around to let them know that, hey, you're angry at the wrong person. The enemy allows you this because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't let the enemy do that to you, because when he does that to you, he does it to your family, to your children, to your friends, to your jobs, and then you end up with nothing. Then you end up just where he wants you, in his hand. But you want to be in the right hands. You want to be in God's hand. You want to grab onto the rope. Grab onto that lifeline. And there's only one lifeline. You know, God is not lukewarm. You know, you're either hot or you're cold. There's no in-between. Amen? So we're running. Let's run to the cross. You know, we're running. You know, let's run to church. We're running. Let's run to Bible study. We're running. Let's run to the Bible. We're running. Let's run to prayer. We are running. But we're thinking that, you know, maybe I'll run this way. Well, that way is drugs. Maybe I'll run this way. Well, that way is alcohol. Maybe I want to run this way. That way is depression. Well, maybe I'll run this way. That way is anxiety. You're running in the wrong direction. You need to run in the right direction. Run towards the Word of God. Amen. Let God lift you up. Let God soothe you. Let God take away that burden, that load you've been carrying for years, and you don't know how to get rid of it. We need to lay prostrate before Him and cry. Just say, Lord, please help me. Lord, I need you. I can't do it by myself. I tried. And what happened? I end up kicking my foot against a prick. I end up running to a stone wall. I end up just falling off the cliff because there's no place else to go. I need you. I want to surrender to you. Amen? Amen. God is good. And let's just try to this week or next week. You know, if you see someone that appears to be lost to you, and if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and say something to this, to him or her. Say something. Because this person needs direction, or direct that person to a resource. There's a shelter over there. There's a soup kitchen over there. There's clothing over here. And there's jobs over there. There's education you can get. We don't need to knock someone in the head for a few dollars. And then end up a lifetime behind bars. Let's just try to reason with some of these young folks. Because I see, you know, the end for them is the end of destruction. And we need to stop that. We need to tell the enemy, Satan, get behind us. We're going to resist you so you can flee. Find yourself another body to go into, because you're not coming in here. Amen. I'm going to surrender to God. My salvation is going to be in his hands. I want eternal life. Amen. I want longevity. I don't want to be short-lived. Amen. Because we only here for a moment, like vapor. We're going to dissipate and go away. Amen. I want to thank each and every last one of you for being on the line. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. You keep me motivated. I mean, you put something inside of me. I get so excited and delighted when I have to say a few words just to try to help someone, just try to feed someone the word of God so they can taste what is good. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's just this privilege of this, of me speaking to you, is under the auspices of Kingdom Builders Institute, and is under the leadership of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docks. And I am so happy to be co-sponsoring with her, because this is a pleasure for me, and I'm going to just turn it over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docks. Amen. Have a blessed and beautiful and marvelous and majestic day today.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I literally want you to begin to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in your spirit. Praise him, because the praises don't go unnoticed to the Lord. We are made to praise God. We're made to worship God. We are made to worship God. I want you to remember that. And just to do a little overview or a summary of what Elder was talking about, you know, we're talking about Jonah. Talking about Jonah fleeing from the Lord, you know, and Elder was making points on the fourth verse of the first of Jonah, speaking about the Lord sent a great wind to the sea. Sometimes the Lord will send an evil spirit. I didn't know that until I read that. God will send an evil spirit because he want to get us in line. He told Jonah to go to Tarshish, and Jonah decided that he wasn't going to Nineveh. He was headed a different way, should I say. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Why didn't he want to do what God told him to do? Because it was a challenge, because his family had been destroyed in Nineveh. And Jonah thinking, I don't want them to be saved. You know, somebody done something to you and your family, you'd be like, I don't give a hoop. what happens to them? But those are the challenges. Those are the things that God wants us to deal with. Amen. When things happen, God wants us to face our fears. God wants us to begin to deal with the things that he have ordained us to deal with. Amen. Amen. God sent. Listen to that. God sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So that was the Lord's doing. So we quote the scripture, the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, right? Isn't it still marvelous that he had to get Jonah in line because of his disobedience? Amen. So some things happen because we make these kind of choices. Jonah was a minor prophet, but this is a major message. It's a major message. Jonah represents the people of Israel. And then Nineveh represents the whole heathen world. So Jonah representing Israel that had to go to the heathens. And you know, sometimes we were like, nope. Not only do I not want to go to you, I don't want you to eat or sit at my table. And then let's go a little bit further. As Elder and I were discussing, the stormy sea represents the confusion, ha-kararaboshe, in the Hebrew minds. Sometimes our thinking is stormy. Sometimes the way we think causes the storm to come. And then another point, the tossing sea. What did the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord sent a great wind to the sea and a violent storm arose. A violent is like you make a decision. There's always some repercussion to the decisions that we make. That's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. And that's why we always have to seek wise counsel. Amen. Amen. We hunger and thirst for wise counsel so that we can, God is saying to us. So the tossing sea represents, or should I say, illustrate the threat that the heathen world was ready to engulf Israel. And then I'm just going to make two more points that the Lord put in my spirit. The sea monster swallowed Jonah. Because what? He was at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. Because he represents the misfortune that would befall upon each and every one of us if we're disobedient people of God. Amen. So you say, I don't even know why this happened to me. Well, you at the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing and probably saying the wrong thing. And then you wonder why this happens to you. Don't get me wrong, but we're on this side of the fence. We're talking about this right now. The sea monster going to swallow Jonah, this representing the whale, because he was in the wrong place. He was supposed to have been another place, and he decided to do something different. And then the last point that I'm going to make is the whale, when he engulfed Jonah, it describes the disaster of the Babylonians, their exile, and the consequence that return to the people of Jerusalem. So the point that I'm trying to make today, Elder and I, follow the mind of Christ. It is his will that we all are ministering reconciliation, restoring men back to God. And yes, we got the young people, not even young people, we got older people, short people, large people, and I'm going to go on and on, living how they want to live, doing what they want to do, going where they want to go, saying what they want to say when they get there. It's going to be that way. Because we have a calling to fulfill. I can't say it enough. The church job, and we're the church, is to clear up controversies that we might expect Christ you know, count on your little bitty fingers or your big fingers. How many people that you have brought to Christ lately, that you literally gave them the call of salvation and they accepted it, and they are going to be part of that crown that you get when you get to glory? Or it's going to be the turning point on you making it to glory. I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. And I'm gonna add a little spin to that. Present yourself as part of God's kingdom. Have a mindset to let the Lord lead you into pulling them out and to bringing them in. They're in the belly of the whale. They're in the belly of the great fish. I dare you to go get them out of that whale. I'm telling you, we can go on and on with this. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, sometimes we have to go through some things so that we can experience some things and so that we'll have a story to tell. Amen. So don't think it's strange when things happen. God is allowing things to happen, allow storms to rise up, to break up the ship, and you be afraid and you cry out, oh God. And they was getting to the point, they was throwing everything off the ship. Everything gotta go. So you're looking at these rotten apples. Okay, you gotta go. So since the apple was in the bag and it's rotten, so you throw the whole bag out and you realize the storm is still rocking your boat. Then after everything is off the ship, now you realize, you know, you say, it must be me. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I'm the one that God chose to go over to Nineveh. You know, maybe it's me. Hallelujah. It is a wonderful thing to be chosen of the Lord and to be surrounded with intercessors or people that have the same type of spirit of the living God, where there's protection. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I can go on and on because it really, I'm going to give a testimony because we do have a few more minutes today. And I shared it with some of my close intercessors that I believe can get a prayer through. My son got pulled over, hallelujah, and he just bought a truck. You know, this thing going on with the Secretary of State, you can't get an appointment, you got to wait. And so he had his truck parked, and he has a basketball camp. And so he trained young boys to play basketball. So he drove his truck to the court, and while he was training the young boys, the police came. So he called me up, and he was like, Mom, they're shining the light on my car. I hear the storm in his voice. You know, I hear the great wind blowing. I hear it. And I said to him to stay calm because you have nothing to hide. Everything is straight. You're not driving. You got your license. Everything is straight. So I didn't hear back from him for about 45 minutes, you know, and I'm calling, he's not answering. So, you know, I began to send out a few prayer requests. Let me tell you something. Every single intercessor sent me back the same response. Every intercessor. They sent me back the same response. And their response was, God got them, pretty much. So after a few minutes later, he called me back, and he's like, oh, Mom, I'm sorry, I didn't call you right back because I had to do the training camp. So I'm saying all that to say this. Be encouraged in God and know that God answers prayers, and the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So stay in faith and stay in prayer and know that when the storm comes, that God got you. Amen, amen. And I'm going to again make my announcements that if you like what we're doing, sow into where we're going, and you can go to www.givelify.com, Giveify. You can download the app on your phone, and you'll be sowing into the lives of others. Amen. You can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739, where Elder Docs and myself are the under-shepherds, the founders of Kingdom Builders Development Institute and Kingdom Builders Ministry. So, again, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for just loving on God. We thank you for knowing when the storm arrives in your life, don't be threatened, because God will supersede every storm. Amen, amen, and amen. So God bless everyone. I know Elder did the call of salvation, but God bless everyone. And just remember that you can't run, can't hide, because everywhere you go, God is there. You make your bed, God is there. God bless everyone, and we love you. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Down notice to them.